This is a session with Chad, recorded on May 1st, St. Germain's Major Day, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 10:40 a.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, something like that, something like that. Hi!
Hi. Okay, so I've been running numbers.
It's a needle pulling thread.
Yeah, I've been running numbers, and some of them hit bang on, and some of them didn't. But they have to be right every time, so let's calibrate.
Good. Okay.
So, I just wanted to check in.
Whoa. Easy there, Trigger. So, a needle pulling thread. All right, if that's the case, then focus on the ones that worked, not on the ones that didn't.
Okay.
Because calibration isn't, that would be about as significant as saying, hey, Ion, practice makes perfect. And we'd say, oh, hell no, it does not. Practice makes practice. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Okay.
So you look at the things that you hit that were bang on, and if you notice, if it was a specific type of triangle or triangulation that was effective, and then enhance that, then branch to fuller dynamics of other aspects and ratios.
Okay.
Because, see, your computer program doesn't know the difference. It just plugs what you know. But you have variations within your triangulation that the computer program is not picking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just doing what it does.
Okay.
And there you go.
Right. Is there any significance to that box you mentioned in my first reading about triangulation, the one that goes from A over to the B1A1 tangent?
Yes.
And B?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what your sine and cosine waves are going to run upon. That'll be that axis. That would be your center of your circle.
So for A, the top of the box would be the center of the A sine?
Yes, and cosine.
And for B, the same?
The same.
Okay.
And then what you'd use C for is to predicate your new x-axis for your A2 valuation.
Okay, so when I put my A sine down and the midpoint is the top of the box,
yes.
Where would the bottom of my sine wave hit?
Wherever they plot.
Okay, so it's back to the, it depends on the amplitude, which is set by the value.
Absolutely. That's
perfect.
Good. Of that angle, yes.
Okay, good. So then I'm good with my A and B sine and cosine. So now with the negative sine and cosine, does that also get set using the amplitude of the C value?
Yes.
Okay.
So. It would. And now, wait a minute. There's something you're missing there. This makes no matter, but you're ahead. So here you go. Isn't it amazing that it'd take number one to get number one? So good. So you get it number one. You remember, you've created a smaller triangle, A2, B2, C2.
Yep.
If you recall, that C and C2 share the same angle, do they not?
Yes.
So you certainly have a heads up on what that x-axis would also be, would you not?
What gives me the heads up?
Well, there's, if you know the minus sine and cos of C, and the angle of C2 is the same as C, then you know what that landscape, it won't be mysterious from that new smaller triangle.
Okay, so yeah, you're saying the sine and cosine of A is the same as the sine and cosine, or sorry, well,
yeah.
Sine and cosine of C, negative sine and cosine of C, and
yes.
Negative sine and cosine of C2 are going to be
the same. Yes. Yeah, and that's key, because then when you have something that bumps, that's an anomaly, then you can pull another tangent because you already know what the x-axis is and double-check yourself and say, okay, well, here's what it's supposed to be in a day. What's it going to be a day in 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, so because your math's done, you see. So then you're kind of going, holy crap, it's going to go down 20 pips and then go up 50? Wow, intraday trading. That's so cool.
Okay, but the thing is, I lay out the sine and cosine for A, for B, and the negative sine and cosine for C. Now you're saying that with the new smaller triangle, I'm going to do the same thing for all three of them?
You certainly may, but you won't have to do C because you've already done it. And you've got the value of A2, which you can now pull a box off of and juxtapose a new. Now, get the, now don't forget to invert the third tangent, which would be, wait for it, A2B2. So it would be A3B3.
Okay.
Because remember, you got A, B. You got B1, A1. Then you'll invert again, and it'll be A2, B2.
The A2,
you
B2
you,
tangent.
You label the tangent so you can find what in the hell you're doing. Because your computer's not going to know. It's just going to do it.
A2, B2 tangent is the third one.
Do.
And if it were before the...
B4A4.
Okay.
So, and then you can, so you like Hal Holbrook, which you got a bunch out of that. Like Hal Holbrook, when you play with that, you see you can set, reset, adjust, readjust accordingly as you go. And once you do it, then you'll work with it and you don't have to throw it away. Just keep adding to, keep adjusting to. And once you get it to working, if you can tell the actual price of something for a month every single day and be within a thousandth of a penny, it's pretty fucking close, wouldn't you say?
Right. And I just want to review one more thing, though.
Yes, certainly.
So the new x-axis was set based on the intersections at the peaks of the negative sine and cosine. It's that simple?
Not necessarily. Now, you get the minus sine and minus cos of C. You set your X, and then you look, you look at the intersection points. If the most intersection points are in the peak, then that becomes the X-axis. If the most are in the trough, which is rare, but it's possible, then that would be the x-axis. If they are, if the peaks and troughs are identical, same number, then you divide between the peaks and the trough, and that becomes the mark.
Okay, divide between the peaks and the troughs, but wouldn't that normally just put it back on the zero?
It would. It would, and many times what you'll find when that's the case is that you'd notice your price would stay flat, or any shift would be very minimal.
Okay, and when you say the number of intersections for the negative sine and cosine, is that the number of intersections between the AB tangent and the B1A1 tangent?
Yes, only. That's correct.
Only those. Okay.
As you know. Very good.
Right. And when I'm counting the number of intersections that happen with the, let's say, A's sine and cosine wave, am I including the, when I take the total number of intersections that I use as the divisor, do I take all of them, like the ones above the zero axis and the ones below it?
Say that again a different way.
Okay. When I'm counting the total intersections between the AB tangent and the B1A1 tangent for the sine and cosine of A, do I take the total intersections, even the ones that are below the zero point?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
That's what we wanted to make sure, because as long as it's, as long as the intersection point is plotted in between those two tangents, then the answer is yes. That would be part included in your divisor of your value of A.
All right. Okay.
And then when you get your A over B, then you go from there. And another thing you may get crossed, we told you, but when you were missing your point, when you find what A over B equals in a formula, and then you divide either by the Maybank rate or divide it into the Maybank rate from your sometimes if you rechange or play that upside down from the things that you missed on, that may be your variable, because you'll find they're very close.
Okay.
I mean, when you really missed, it's almost like you missed it completely, like it's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Then try inverting that division process. If you're precise on your Maybank rate, that may help you. And then you've solved the premise of your whole fallacy.
Right. So when I take the A divided by the B divided by the value of a Maybank, that gives me this new value. And that is that the A2 value above the new X axis?
Yes, certainly. But if you've missed, then maybe you could you can do it the other way. And if you hit it exactly, then you know that's the point.
Right. And the other way would be, instead of dividing it by the Maybank value, it would be dividing it into the Maybank value.
That's exactly correct. Very, very good.
Okay. So now that I have this new value with the result of A divided by B divided by Maybank value, where do I count up from the new x-axis to plot that value?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then that becomes your new established A2 value. So that'll give you the position that A is to be.
Okay. And then at that point, so if that were 2 points above my new x-axis, would that mean that it's going to be, the value is going to be 2 at that future point in time?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not measuring the value by going all the way across to the original.
Now, wait now. That depends on what you're doing, you see. If you're doing futures, you would look at the change from your old original x-axis, because that's the total change. But if you're just trying to get the price, it would be based on the new landscape, which is x, the new horizon, and what that price is. So, yes, so you see how you'd play with that. If you were trying to do a short sale, then you'd want to go it from the original x-axis and the total change, because that'd be the amount of the total change of how far to go short.
Okay, so with futures,
you include it from the old x-axis, the original.
So I would take my new plotted point above my new x-axis, and I would go across to my AB tangent, my y-axis in the first case, and I would say, okay, it's at 1.2 on the original one, so that's what's going to go up to?
Or you'd look at your A2 value, and you would gauge from your original x and count the change from your original x into what the new value is. So it would all be found on the new y.
Oh, okay.
B1, A1.
So the
but
future...
Now, wait a second. So that's the answer to that. Now, what you're talking about now is if you're doing a shift, meaning, let's say you're doing a composite of, say, something. That's when you would look at the both sides of your points in between the two sides of your box or your two tangents.
When I'm doing a composite, like you mean like a Dow Jones index or S&P 500?
Wilshire 5000, yes.
Okay. In the case of Forex, where I just want to know the future date value, then how do I get that value based on the 18
That's
point.
What you've been working on so far, same way.
Same way, okay. So then if my new X axis was set at a value of 1.
And your A2 value was 2, you'd go to the new X axis and you'd go up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd look at it and you'd go, oh, wait, now here's where it was, now here's where it is. Okay, and then you know your point. Just like when you were doing gold, same way.
Oh, okay. All right, so the new value of my 4X is counted from my new X-axis, and then
yes.
You know, tick, tick, Boom.
So there
if it's
you
up
go.
2, then the future value is 2.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, be very careful when you start your ratios. Okay? Just be very careful, because if you blow out your ratios, you got the visual going here. But you be very careful, because when you start adjusting, when you start adjusting ratios, anything you do to make it work easier for your formula, you got to be able to do that same thing to your answer. So if you change the ratio by moving the decimal 1 point, then when you get your answer, you got to adjust it by 1 point, you see.
Of course, yeah.
Well, you say of course, but you get lost in the process when the damn little looky box is doing it for you.
Yeah, but I know
yeah.
to make sure that
okay.
the decimal conversions
Good.
Have been carried over.
That's right, and ratios of perspective. But you'll get it. You know, if something cost $1 and then your value comes in at $1,000, you'd know that you've got to look at your ratio points because something's afoot. You know what I'm saying.
Okay. But I just want to be clear here that when I plot that new A2 point, it doesn't mean that I have to use the existing smaller triangle to gain the knowing of the future
right.
4x value.
No, you do not. You do not. But you got it. See? That's the fun, is you've got it. So.
Okay, well, what can I do with the smaller triangle now? That I have
now pull a future value from that.
Okay.
And rectify or justify your spread. You know, when you've got a futures contract, or let's say you're doing it as a straight buy, but then you want to look at what the futures market price is,
mm-hmm.
pull that from your smaller triangle and then it'll line up with what the futures market says it's supposed to do.
Okay.
Well, if you can make your established future value match the futures price of what everyone else is banking to, then, you know, you're about 100% out of 100 of latent accuracy.
Okay. So when I'm plotting the A2, B2 tangent and working with that triangle, from where do I run my A sine wave?
From the little triangle, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, so I'm working with the little triangle
okay.
now. To
so
get
So draw another tangent, and then you draw your little box across,
mm-hmm.
just like you did in your original ABC triangle, only now your triangle is A2, B2, C2.
Okay. So I don't when I'm working on my third tangent to get my second future value, I don't really care about my A2 value point. I care about the triangle, right?
Well, that is your value. Your A2 is the value of A.
Oh, so I have to move my triangle up to where A2 is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Within that new x-axis, but this time your x-axis won't change because you've already set the new x-axis because C and C2 are the same.
But I have to pull my triangle up to get my A
no,
intersect.
Well, yes, you do, but your C won't go up.
So C will stay on the x-axis at the point that it was at. Okay.
Of course.
But
good.
I've got my A2 value. Where I plotted that A2 point, it might be up above the triangle.
Which is fine. That's fine. You just pull it from there and leave your C and C2 where they were, and now you are extending the triangulated position. You're just basically, it'd be like this. You've learned how to triangulate. Now you're going to triangulate your triangulated position. You sent a picture of your dodecahedron? No, you called it something else. It's when you had a triangle and a dot in the middle that came off the three lines off of that. You called that something. That's the example of pulling that smaller triangle. It's a retriangulation within a triangle. It's a verifier.
So you mean the triangle where there's a dot in the center, and from the dot there were three lines. Each line went out to an angle.
To the ABC.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing with my second, with my A2, B2.
Yes. And if you keep going, the next thing you know, you'll know what we mean when we say pull it into a rhombic dodecahedron.
Oh, okay.
Because see, once you got it, number one, you got it. You can, you know, once you got a Peter. You learn what to do with your Peter. Well, you can do that with your Peter all kinds of places. You see, once you know how to, once you know how to make it do, it'll do, no problem.
Okay.
Then
so I just
then you can play with it.
Okay, when I'm working with my A2B2 tangent though, I'm not getting how to get the little triangle connected to my new A2 point as the A of that one.
Why don't you just draw it? You draw a. Your A2 to the C and your B2 to the C makes a new triangle. The only thing is, in this place, you won't have to rerun the minus sine cosine of C because you'll already have that established value.
But wait a minute. That'll create another triangle.
It makes no difference. The C and the C2 would be the same angle because the extension of the fuller run that you're doing would do. Try it. You'll see. You'll find that it'll work because your original triangulation, regardless of the space, it still knows. All right, if you GPS a journey and you vary from that journey, it'll recalculate you back to your final destination. Same thing with your C2. Regardless if you go outside of the triangulated position with your new calculated A2 value, it'll still move you back into the triangulatable position. That's what marries it back to the original formulation. Because you got to realize, see, you're not doing a whole new triangulation. You're just doing new sine cosine waves from the new value of A2.
Okay. So essentially, it would just be like I'm sort of squeezing my A.
That's right. That's what Bob does best, squeezing.
So, but I don't get how to get my B2 value.
You already have your B2 value. Don't you plot your B2?
Oh, yeah.
You look at where your B2 is?
Oh, okay. On the little triangle.
As it intersects in the little triangle? Well, that's the whole point of the visual and being able to see it. Because then you can just go, okay, here's X and Y, up to B is 2. Okay, so B2 is 2. Well, that's where it is. And you can do that just from your plot. That's why some have fallen way short when they're trying to calculate the visual aspect of the sine cosine wave. And that's because they're not bringing it to a position of plotting the actual wave itself.
Mm-hmm. So the B2, the B2 value is going to be
plotted.
I'm sorry, the B2 angle is going to be the same as the B angle.
It should, yes.
Yeah. So the B2 angle will be the same. Mm-hmm. And
but now you got to watch your divisors and divide appropriately and accordingly. So just because your B2 hasn't changed doesn't mean you don't have to look at, now is it A over B or B over an A, okay? You just got to, just so you pay attention and watch that, you'll be fine.
That didn't connect. So the B
okay.
over A.
So just because you know you've done the function of the new B2, remember, if it's inverted, it would be B over A rather than A over B.
Yeah.
And so that still applies even though you don't have to recalculate your B2 calculation.
Oh, okay. So are you saying that if I end up with an A2 value that is less than my B value?
You'd invert it. That's
you'd
right.
You'd invert it. Right.
Very
okay.
good. See, all the things that you know about it that you've put into your little formula thing to do still apply. You just got to know what the fuck you're doing so you can know to make sure that adjustment is being embraced. That's
okay.
all.
Right.
So it's almost like if X is bigger than 0, then. If Y is greater than 1, then. And then if not, then the inverse proportion is calculated.
Right.
So as you perfect this, you'll get one formula that'll work for every application. And you're not quite there yet from that place, but that's okay. You ain't nobody hurt. You're doing fine.
Okay. So my A2 value that I did with my A divided by B divided by Maybank becomes the top of my second triangle, the top point, if it has a value higher than B.
Very good.
And then my B value for the new triangle is where the intersection was of B on the B1A1 tangent. Right?
Certainly.
Okay, and then C is where C and C2 have always been.
Do.
Create a new set of sine and cosine waves for my A2, my B2, and then my negative sine and cosine for C2 are basically the same as they were for C.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse and repeat, do the intersections within the triangle divided by the total intersections. Do that for A, do that for B. Get a new A divided by B value, and then plot it on the new x-axis, which is on the intersection points of the negative sine, negative cosine.
Call that
of
the
C2.
New horizon, because it's the horizon from your future period.
Okay, so we won't call it the new x, we'll call it the new horizon?
Yeah, because that's what the price is when your horizon is different or adjusted.
Okay.
It'll make it easy.
So
that doesn't make much sense today, but it will.
So would the new horizon value be more accurate than my A2 value?
It is your A2 value. It's what sets your A2 value. It's the justification of your A2 value. So it would be
okay,
both.
So I've got my B1A1 tangent where I plotted my A2 value. And then we brought in this third tangent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying the third tangent is justifying my A2 value?
It is.
But I wouldn't put my money down on the third tangent's value. It would be just justifying A2?
Well, no, you certainly could.
Okay.
Especially if you notice there's a shift. If it becomes flat or the same, okay, fine. But if you notice something odd or something off, you'd really want to look at that and go at it specifically from that point. Because specifically then from that point, you'd be in a key place of calculating.
What do you mean by a key place of calculating?
Well, you'll know shifts within the shifts. When something's going down, you'll know what's going down and then how it applies.
Okay, so when I get my result on that A2, B2 for what that new value of A is going to be, that will what does that indicate to me about the price? Like
proximity of change. Now, let me give you an example. Let's give you an example. Okay, Japan is decimated one day.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be on the yen like a bad habit.
Yeah.
Because Japan was decimated one day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you see that shift and that change in your A2 value of what is it going to be tomorrow. Now, then you're wondering, okay, how is this going to play out? You'd pull your another tangent within that same bit of triangulation and see what maybe a holdout value would be. And if you see it dropping yet again, it's like, holy shit, this is a free-for-all. So you have a yen at 80, and then 2 days later it's 120. You'd be aware there, wouldn't you?
Oh, okay.
Your horizon has shifted.
Okay, so yeah, so my A2 would tell me, you know, 7 days from now what the price of the yen is going to be, and then my next tangent would tell me a few days out from that, so maybe 10 days out, what the value is going to be then. So
and
give
you
me
see
an idea
how
idea
bad it's, you
how
see
bad
how
it's going
bad
to
it's gonna be and how long it's going to hold as bad. We don't say bad. Let's say lower or higher. Yeah. In this case, it's higher, you see.
Okay.
But now let's have some fun. Now you're having some fun. If you're able to do that, then you're having this. Japan is decimated one day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you triangulate that, and you hit it on the mark. And then you pull another triangulation, and let's say one of your values is also, let's say, the Great British Pound,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then 3 days after Japan is decimated, then all of Britain gets squashed by a tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
The value of a Great British Pound would suffer, would it not?
Yeah.
But the value of a yen would increase against the Great British Pound, would it not?
Yeah.
Now, do you see that interplay? It's where it's real handy to pull that extra bit of triangulation to see what's up.
Yeah.
Because your landscape can change always. But if your C and C2 axis is the same, that landscape is now set. The only thing that's changed is your A2 value. Well, okay, Ion, now you're doing something. So what if my value after 10 days of my A2 was flat, meaning same price? Well, then you'd know then that there wasn't much change regarding that position.
So it would mean that I'm going into a horizon that is a new horizon, but it's going to hit stability in its plateau.
It'll be stabilized. It'll plateau at the new higher or lower level. Good.
Right. Okay.
And see, that becomes key because, well, basically it's like anything. Number one, you got something, now you apply it in a multifaceted position. And that position then opens up to a broader space of knowing. Now, once you get good at this, you won't even need to process it. You'll just know. But you follow, show me the fucking science, like to know what you, how you know what you know. And we go, well, okay, fine. If that's what it takes, good. But if it's a way you could value and have a workable knowingness regarding it, sometimes that makes it easier for you to embrace it as a known.
Right.
Okay. But see, you naturally get it and do just fine. But it sure is comforting then to come back and go, wow, okay, I know this now. I'd like to know, is there a way I can validate my knowing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some would say that's a little man's position, but not so much because, not so much because as long as you end up at the end of the day with the same conclusion, who cares? You see? See, if you use it to, once you get more confidence with that in that regard, it'll make it simpler and simpler and simpler, and that's no problem.
Right. So does, you know how this goes into like a cone shaped where it points down, the point of the cone would be on C?
It is, yes.
What happens when it gets to that point on C? Does it like cross over and create like an opposite cone if you were to continue them?
That's the metaphor that we did, I think, about the first week with the two wire whisks.
Oh, okay. So the C point would be the point...
The station.
The station, Grand Central.
It's the convergence. It's the, wait for it, the singularity.
Okay.
That'll work well in worlds.
Mm. 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 Work well fucking, in worlds.
If you fucking right. Yeah, that's Dr. Dean's new perfect response too.
No, it's more. Very ambivalent. I nailed her on a point last night, and she went.
Sounds like a wave, though. It's a wave.
Yeah, yeah. It's a controlled wave. It's a, yeah. It's like a wave that refuses to leave the singularity point. Or the knowing point.
Right.
the staying in Grand Central Station.
Oh, yes, yes. Not knowing which train to get on or not ready to get on one.
Not wanting to.
Or what?
Not
the choice is knowing exactly where those trains go to decide which will get you to which train is the fastest commute.
Yeah.
Right.
See, if you know, then you don't. Then you're good. Go ahead. If you don't know, then fuck. Triangulate.
So that would calculate the fastest path to your joy.
In all possibilities. Because
right.
all possibilities would be included in those wavelengths that are plottable.
Ah, okay.
Well, think about it now. See, okay, now you really want to have some fun with this?
Yeah.
You've had much conversation about the fucking noid.
Yeah.
The void, the noid. Well, this would prove no void. False known, there's no void. It's just included or not included in the dynamic of a capacitation of a reality. So it's not. So everything outside the triangle is the noid. Avoid the noid. Okay. Everything inside is the only reason it's considered in the void is because it's not in your triangulated position. But it certainly can be, and inclusively so. So it makes the void just something of where you're not. Well,
yeah.
I'm not there, so that's the void. Well, how brilliant do you have to be to figure that out?
Mm-hmm. No, I get
you. But you can use triangulation to say this is what you're considering, whether it's in the noid or not in the noid, but at the end of the day, I'm annoyed. So you can find annoyed to be noid.
Right. Okay. So
all that happens is you're showing the rationale between the considered justified points.
Right. So, and I'm gauging this with this formula, I'm gauging the future value, but you mentioned last time.
For the future. You're engaging the future.
Engaging the future. But you also said last time that I can change the present by pulling the B4, which would change the future, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
And is that changing the B4? Since we're just gauging, that means picking
you're
a different...
You're not gauging. You're not
no?
gauging. You're being very adamantly precise. And it, once you know what the B4 is, because notice, now wait a second, C2 and C and C1, those angles aren't going to change. But if you pull a B4, A4 tangent, your triangle's getting larger. So you have much broader capacity to be a ringer, to hit it on the mark. Your ratio in perspective is getting more detailed.
By pulling a B4.
Certainly. Because, see, your triangle's just getting larger, but your angles aren't.
Right.
Well, the larger space that there is, you can be precise with triangulation in a larger area, they call that more precise, do they not?
Mm-hmm.
So shall you. So in the adjustment of that, then you can see, wait a second, the B4 is off here from what they said was. Then you look at that and then you watch the shift within those plotted field ratios of pulling a cord from some of those intersection points. There's much you can play with because you've not asked the question, hey, Ion, I got the sine wave of sine cosine of A. What if I pull a cord off of that vibration between the B4, A4 to the AB tangent? We'd say, well, you'd be very brilliant because that would change everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so you're talking about a horizontal cord along the intersection points of the sine and cosine of A. But you're saying to run that to the left now, to the minus?
Well, it would be, you could do that onto the left of your original AB tangent, certainly.
Oh, because it goes on forever to the
of
left
course,
of the right.
Of course, vibration does. Vibration goes on forever. Time is finite.
Okay, so because the vibration goes on forever, my sine and cosine of A would go all, you know, forever to the left, forever to the right. So
exactly
if I follow, if I put a cord through the intersection of the sine and cosine,
you would change the vibrational proximity of its outcome. If you draw a cord, say your first part again, and we'll finish the sentence.
Okay. So if I run, if I pull a chord in the intersections of the sine and cosine of A,
you would forever change the outcome of your A2 value because you would have changed the frequency.
Okay, so can we run that out
now,
here?
You say, you say okay glibly, but that's, we just told you not only how to make time tell, we just told you how to make change time.
Yeah, and I want to run it as a process.
Yeah. No big deal.
That's why I don't.
You little shit.
Yeah. So in that, when I...
Bob, you should try this type of lemon squeezing. Just give him the secrets to the universe, and when we give that to you, Bob, say, oh, okay, great. Anything else? Can we now show me how to do it? Let's walk through it. Here's how it works. And just go, never mind. Okay, good. That's good. Good, good, good.
Who says the never mind? Me or Jed?
Well, we're saying it seems to be very greatly working for number one today. By just going, oh, yeah, okay, great. Yeah,
oh, I see, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's fun, good.
No, no, that's because I don't want it to turn into a long thing of, oh, then you can do this, then you can do this, then you can do this. I just want to get right down to it.
Well, get right to it, big boy.
All right. So I've created a chord across those intersecting points, and I follow it to the left. Now.
Whoa, it's a new tangent.
Now you're telling me now I have a horizontal tangent.
No, you would have a new chord. Can you pull a chord? Can you pull a hypotenuse from a chord?
Yes.
Well, to do that.
Okay, but this is done running to the left or working with my zero y-axis?
Left.
So I go to the left. And you're saying I've already extended to make my big triangle towards the B4?
Well, you would, yes.
Okay, so I've got my big triangle going to the left, which would go out towards my B4 tangent. And I run my sine and cosine of A to the left, and then I create a chord through the intersection points of the A sine and cosine. Was that correct so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then... pulling a hypotenuse. Oh, that would give me another triangle.
Right. Marvelous. 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 Very good. Now you have another triangle in the past that you would work again then to validate, if you will, your bigness of the now. That's why we say there's only now. There's no past, there's no present, there's no future, there's only now.
Okay, so that new triangle that's over on the B4 side of the axis.
Do.
You mean run an operation from that point?
Do.
So I would run my formula from there.
If you're already working between B4 and A4 and AB, describe your labeling of that new tangent point.
The B4, A4 tangent.
Well, but you're making a new one, are you not?
Oh, I'm sorry. The B4, A4, so then it would be, I don't know, A over
come
B.
Come on. If you're at the B4, and you have to have the B4 before you can get this next one, describe this one. Come on.
But wait a minute. Is this one before the B4, A4, and the AB tangent?
It would be between it, wouldn't it?
Well, if it's between them, I'm supposed to invert when I'm going either way. So
yes.
It would be... I don't know how that works, because one has...
Well, do it. Just do it. Just, come on. You got it. Come on.
B3, A3?
Well, no, because you've already pulled that from your little triangle.
I'm sorry. B5.
Oh. B5. So you mean to tell us that that's how you have the ability to validate a pentad?
B5. Five, okay. So, but it's B5, A5, or
yes.
A5, B5.
It would be B5, A5, B5.
Oh, so it's A5B5. Because we're going for, we have to go from the AB to the B4A4 and then
back, right?
Then back to the A5B5.
And it's because you can't pull a B5 before you get your B4 validated. Because you can't run a tangent from a chord that's not created.
Yeah.
So therefore, and you'll never mess that up because you labeled it correctly.
Okay, now
so
where...
Now when you retrieve it and it obsolesces, it changes, that's exactly how you run a pentad, is it not?
When you retrieve it,
it's different.
When I retrieve it, the value of A changes.
That's exactly right. So now, when you, and just like if you run a pentad on something, when you bring it back, it's different.
Okay.
So is this aspect.
Now, to get to the A5, B5 tangent, do I have to go from AB to B1, A1 to to the B3?
No,
and then
B4.
Okay, so then I can just go to the B4. I don't have to do the little one between the...
Right, you don't have to. You don't have to. But once you play with this a bit, you'll do them all. Because it's just a matter of hitting enter, you see. I mean, you know what I mean? It'll just be click, enter. You'll do them all. You'll do them over and under and every way to Sunday. Probably charge people great sums of money to work out details by hitting enter.
Mm-hmm. So if I was to run a formula like that, that would run the pentad to the A5, B5.
You would then know where the mystery landscape affects the outcome of a future tense. But Bob's been saying that for 40 fucking years.
Can you use the example of a 4x value with that statement?
Yes. You have an occurrence, a tragedy, that negative, or take the stock market crash, the 87 stock market crash. Well, you could run this pentad from when you retrieve it, bring it back into a position and know that it actually is going to go higher. And then it's going to come to fall again, and then it's going to go higher. And each time you're going to have a new typing genre that the market would attribute a relative value to.
But wouldn't my A2 and A3 already just tell me what the future is?
It does, but it doesn't affect... You can redefine it even more specifically, like other events that are.
It's a refining. But are we still
yes,
gauging the future point, or are we making the future point?
Well, there's the $64 billion question now, isn't it?
Okay, so when we get to the level of the pentad, there's no difference between predicting and making?
When you get to the pentad, then you tell the future.
Meaning you command it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's the essence of what we talk about when we say creation. See?
Okay. So when I'm working with my A5, B5 tangent...
You quit telling the future and you're making the future tell.
Wait a minute. Quit telling the future and make the future tell. Okay,
you
so make commanding it to tell.
That's right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Right, but back.
But now that's graduate school work, number one. Keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Because we're not telling that to the whole wide world, just you, and of course our Bob and Carolyn. They can have everything.
Yeah. So the process with working with the A5, B5 is a sprints and repeat again of. Do pull signs, cosines?
Certainly.
Okay.
Now guess what? You can get great fun if you played with that just a little bit, and you can take a triangulated position, but from a B5, add a different twist to it. So you could then go back in the past, adjust it from your chord drawn, and make an outcome that wasn't pleasant to you be a different outcome and change everything. Because that chord would give a new inference point and would change your intersection points across the board, would it not?
Yeah, so if my B4 tangent was 5 days in the past, and my A5 B5 tangent is 3 days in the past, then that would set what happens on my A B,
Okay, it's
right?
that movie, you know, where the guy gets dead and they take some of his stupid brain something and he has the ability to go back 8 minutes and he can't change anything and he
Source
just
code.
Limitless? Limitless?
Limitless. Yes.
Source
That he
code.
goes source
Others,
code.
not
Source.
limitless.
Not limitless. Where you go
Okay.
back 8 minutes and you can change it and you can go back 8 minutes but you can't change it. And then he figures out how to change it, and then he realizes he's actually dead, but he can change things. That's what the Pentad B5 tangent will do for you.
Okay, so that movie would may help me get around this a bit.
Of course. Well, it'll let you get the visual, see, baby. Because all
Yeah.
you got to do is get the visual, and you'll make it work.
Yeah.
That's the point of creation. And that's why it's significant, because we helped, but it's your creation. We assisted, we answered your damn questions, but you did it. That's the only way this works.
Okay, so when I get to the point where I'm working with my A5 B5, when I get to my A5 B5, am I calculating back to what A, just A, is going to be? Like what my present is?
Yes.
So I'm using A5 B5 to calculate what the present is by telling what the present is, by
Yes.
making the present.
Yes. You change the landscape.
Of the present.
Well,
And
yes, and
then.
if you change the landscape of the present, guess what? You affect its future outcome.
Okay, so then
Or in
I.
your case, income.
Good one. So
See
when
how
I.
kind of how that's just too cool for school.
Yeah. So when I'm working with my A5 B5 tangent and commanding my present or making my present be a certain value, then if I want to know the value of my new present's future, I run back to the beginning, run my process again from using my new A value. Right? Okay. So.
Now, that's a big statement you just made, and we said do, okay? Don't worry, that won't last forever. So you know.
Okay.
But
Hey.
this second is fine.
Hey, Jed, I was just looking at one of the McLuhan sites, and they quote for understanding media is a interesting sentence in relation to the void. McLuhan says Leibniz or Leibniz saw in the mystical elegance of the binary system of zero and one, he saw in that the image of creation. The unity of the supreme being operating in the void of binary function would, Leibniz felt, suffice to make all beings from the void. Now, what's the void being discussed there as opposed to the void-void-noid that you're talking about, Ion?
The void, that's describing outside of your triangle.
In both cases?
Everything outside of your triangle came from the void.
But even in the
That's
case of the quote he just read?
yes.
right,
It
and that
doesn't
void.
apply, it's not inclusive, so it came from the void. Good. And that void, go ahead, Bob, you were on it.
Yeah, the void is not in the triangle. You were saying that there's no void inside the triangle.
Correct, because that's what you can know.
So
But
they're
if it's
missing, yeah, then.
outside, anything that's outside would be from and inclusive of the noid or the void.
Right. So when Garrett once told me, Garrett Dean said, you can know the incomprehensible with the triangle as the area of knowing in relation to the void.
It's what sets a precedent to let you pint at it.
The triangle does that.
Do.
So thinking there's a void outside of the triangle, is that visual bias?
It would, if you have a bias, it would be a visually biased application. But if you don't, it can be used as a validator of position.
Right. So I remember
Now you say,
I
right, Palmer, what did you just learn there?
that nothing. Here's the next sentence.
Okay, good. That's what we
Yeah, I
was
just
making
move on.
sure.
I'll hear it.
Sure.
I'll get it at 3. I'll get it at 3 in the morning.
And them dishes are flying around. Oh, my God, I got something. Oh, my God, I got something. I got clean dishes. Yep, you got something. Good.
Right. So I remember the evergreens. We were talking about Egyptian hieroglyphics, and they said it was all based on their electrical, or the hieroglyphs were metaphors of electricity, and they knew about everything came from 0 and 1. What the binary system of 0 and 1, what are we learning that's not limited to that idea? Are we going beyond that?
Yes, you are. 0 and 1 is the same way James can now tell you a very different application for sine and cosine. 1 is at 0 and 1 is at -1.
Yeah, that's not 0 and 1?
No, it's not. No, Bob.
So you're saying that's what we can work with, that the matter is not based on 0 and 1.
You can go before it was. A cosine starts before it was.
Right.
So if you can go before it was, that's going to be better than 1 and 0.
Yeah, that's tachyonic.
If you get to that level, it's already screwed.
Yeah, that's the tachyonic level.
Right. If you wait to 0 and 1, the best you're going to have is sloppy seconds. Well,
so that is a visual bias.
Right. So if you don't mind sloppy seconds, then great. No problem. But if you kind of got a thing about not having sloppy seconds, then 0, 1, and 0 seems to be much, it puts you head and shoulders above the crew.
Zero, one?
Our idea of binary, like binary 1 and 0 code right now, you're saying that we can move to something where it's not 0 and 1, it's 1 and -1?
Do.
Right, and that includes that's not the visual bias framework of a beginning point. That knows it's not a beginning point.
Right, because there is a pre-beginning point.
Yeah,
and
that's all within the idea of time.
1 and 0 does not apply.
Yeah, and so because if you work with time, then you begin with the beginning. But if you know there's no time, then you include the all that's happened, the tachyonic, in your making the visual space tell, to make the visual
Perfect.
Space tell.
And then you also, with that knowing alone, you can effect it.
Yeah.
Now think
so
about
that's,
it.
That's,
bias, yeah. Bias means angle, means diagonal. Yeah.
Perspective.
No, it doesn't mean perspective. If the perspective is included in the angle, then yes. But if it's not, then no, it most certainly does not.
Right. When you read McLuhan, he makes perspective, that the use of that word to illustrate its use by visually biased. But if you mean perspective in a more comprehensive sense, which is the way you use it, it's not the way McLuhan uses perspective.
An inspective. He used language as an inspective.
Right.
He was an inspector.
Yeah.
So the inspection is what was yielded or wrought. And then his comments were from that inspection.
Right. So the Dobbs quadrant is from rational tactility. Is that what you said last night?
Do.
The rational tactility?
Do.
Yeah. So the rational tactile view.
And that's odd for us to maintain an agreement for that long. That was a day away, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rational cool. Tactility.
Cool.
Yeah,
thing.
Ian was telling me that the other quadrants, Croker, Thompson, McLuhan, and Roos, they fall away. I asked him what's different about the Dobbs quadrant, and he said the Dobbs quadrant is rational tactility, and it doesn't fall away. Hmm. That's like tactile eye. That's including the what we're talking about now is the rational tactility. It's not limited to the visual bias.
You mean what
the
we're talking about
bias.
Now with the formula and stuff?
No, the 0 and 1,
okay.
The McLuhan quote. And
so,
dealing with
so
the pre.
So describe a tactless knowing.
That'd be ASA Scott.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll give you that one.
Did you say tack as in T-A-C-H?
No, T-A-C-T, tactless.
Oh, tact.
No, tact. That's ASA Scott. He knows a lot, but he's tactless in his communication of it.
Right. Okay.
Good.
Or he claims he knows a lot.
So when we're looking at the triangulation here, no matter which tangent we're hitting it from, Are we looking at gravity? Is this showing us how gravity works?
There is no gravity.
Oh, there is no gravity. Okay.
There's no.
Yeah,
gravity.
That's a product of the printing press, Jed.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no gravity because there's no gravity. Because otherwise, you couldn't overcome it. If there was gravity, you couldn't uncreate it. And they do it. You can overcome gravity all day long.
Yeah.
So if you can overtake it, then there isn't any.
So what keeps my feet on the ground?
Well, nothing. You rarely have your feet on the ground anymore.
Okay. What makes the table look like it's touching the ground or be close to the ground rather than on the ceiling?
It's not real. You can see it. It very likely is on the ceiling, as far as you know.
So you're saying
you look
it's
at,
my...
Stop. Hold the presses right there. All right. Very good. Then you describe when you look at something through an ocular nerve, it has an upside-downness to it. Your brain has to turn it right side up for you to see it right side up because someone told you that the table doesn't go on the ceiling, the light fixture goes on the ceiling, the table goes on the floor. And your landscape of where you're setting X is what gauges it. So it really doesn't make a fuck where the table is. Your eye's going to see it on the floor in the dining room.
Okay, is that what this triangulation angle is doing? Where it's
clears
like the
that
way that...
up. It clears
okay.
that up.
So
it allows the table to be on the side wall.
On the side wall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a sidewinder?
No.
Never? Well, you will. It'll be fun. Somebody might pitch you a sidewinder. Uh-huh.
Oh, in baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, if there's gravity, and there's this, and there's that, and there's this, and there's that, then you can't throw a sidewinder. You can't throw a knuckleball. You can't throw a curveball. You can't do it. You'd have to undo gravity to throw a slider. Wouldn't you?
Well, gravity doesn't mean that everything just permanently sticks to the ground. It means that there's a force.
Oh, but if then varying degrees based on weight displacement would have a certain amount of energy applied. And you can take a helium balloon and turn it loose and it goes, or you can take a several hundred ton rocket ship and add a lot of hydrogen fuel and blast it through the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to a certain point where there isn't any. Well, that's what is. You can't see that. This is not because you can.
This is not meaning this formula triangulation.
What, this world, this gravity,
oh, world.
This bullshit you're chatting about. Well, the tree is in the ground and it grows to the sky. No, it doesn't. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so is the triangle in the triangulation diagram, how it converges down to the C point, and then you could extend it off further to create sort of the antimatter.
To perpetude. Angles
okay.
don't change. Angles, the more backwards you get with an angle, the larger it encompasses.
Okay.
But
so
see,
that's
what your genealogy, even in the scriptures and in the Revelation, starts with a huge, broad stack of gods narrowing down to one little man.
And the one little man will have a bunch of generations.
Until you get to what you call from Adam to enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back to opening up the other side from the singularity, and you go back to God.
Okay.
Because of that C1, C2, and C3 value. And don't even ask what happens when you get to C3PO.
That's the name of the robot from Star Wars.
Do. And his best friend was R2-D2. You might play with that. You might play with that a bit, too, when you get out of degrees and get out of radians and start going to degrees.
So are you suggesting that I go to degrees now?
Yes, absolutely. It'll
okay.
change your world.
All right.
What was
It'll
that?
Change your world.
R2-D2, and what was the C? What was the robot in Star Wars?
C-3PO. C-3PO.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the main robots in the Star Wars series.
Right. R2-D2, that's Robert Dobbs.
Oh, yeah.
It was 22 underneath it.
Right.
And it's got another Dean in there, so it's Dean 2.
Yeah.
Another Dean.
D2.
Yeah.
So it's got Dobbs and Dean.
Yeah.
That'd be Carolyn.
Do.
Oh, which the was best, the... That was the scene in The Fringe last night.
Yeah. Oh, he actually saw it. Cool.
Did you see the new Fringe, Chad?
No, I haven't seen last week's.
Okay.
No.
All right. So go ahead. What were you just saying?
Okay, so
Ian?
When...
Was no, number one was
okay.
Chatting.
Okay, we talked about how the convergence of these angles into the C point, which would be like Grand Central, and then come out the other side, would that be like matter is on the side I'm working on and antimatter?
There's no
on?
Matter.
Okay.
Don't use matter. You'll get matter stuck in your ass. Don't mess with matter or antimatter. Shit. It's in you or out of you. It's still shit.
Okay. So that convergence point, would that be like in our brain where the world is flipped upside down?
Well, it already is. Your brain has to turn it upside right. Now.
Yeah. So does working with triangulation and getting to the point of the pentad, does it affect
that? It brings it into a focus that you are eliminating every other possibility but the one that's being triangulated. So you begin there, and that's where you set a precedented place of knowing. And when you have a precedented place of knowing, then all other knowing is known.
Because you have a starting point that's not based on a false premise, right?
Exactly. And you're even encompassing a false premise to prove it.
Yeah.
That's a bitch, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I tell a lie to prove the truth. Well, that sounds ridiculous when we say it that way, but that's how it is.
That's a chapter title in Cliched Archetype, Art as Lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Saying, oh, yeah, you remember that, Chad? Or just registering it?
Which one in Cliched Archetype? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, one of the chapters is called Art as, I think it's Casuistry, / Art as Lie.
Okay.
With a little sprinkle of Elliedom.
Right. It's Ellie Roselle. What's her name? Ellie Roselle? Yeah. Oh, that's her last name, isn't it? I haven't said it in a while.
Yeah.
Ellie Roselle.
Doesn't it?
So, Chad, you look at the angel cell and the circle, the ellipse. Then you turn it on its side, so the circle of the cell becomes a line, perpendicular line. And then you think of the depth aspect of the cell, like going down the 9 levels, the 14 rings.
Mm-hmm.
You turn that on the side, the cell becomes a cone.
Yeah, it's like we're looking at its side profile here of that phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, we're looking at the side profile.
An MRI view.
MRI, yeah.
And then the second wire whisk that pops out the other side of the Singularity Grand Central Station, is that some kind of mirror relationship with the first wire
whisk?
Well,
it's what's
on the
other side
of
the...
No, let me say that. Or there's too many dimensions in the first cell that are what would be mirrored in the second wire whisk.
No, Bob. Okay. It's what's on the other side of the singularity.
Yeah.
And until you get to the singularity, you don't... That's why they talk about black holes the way they do now. They haven't been on the other side. Well, once they get to the other side, then they get the singularity. That's just the... where the two wire whisks attach.
And then come back.
Or in and out, everything a rabbit can do with a stump. Shall we do those prepositions again?
Yeah, so the Mayans, the Mayans have not come back yet. We don't know if they knew how to get back. But
they didn't choose to yet.
Come back, right.
But
that was the first project.
They and could.
Jed, that was the first project given to me. Within a few weeks into Ion, I don't know, a month, all of a sudden he started talking about Moses and details and then said that we could do a mosaic thing. Or not necessarily Moses, but we could go into...
I have no Moses bunch of bullshit.
He had me nailed as Moses, so we would jump off the Grand Wilaya and go into the black hole, but for the first time come back.
Yeah.
That's the new thing.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
I just had an insight, though, about putting the angel diagram sideways, and then we're looking at the cone. Ion, you mentioned the importance of 22 degrees.
Dude.
Now, would I be putting the angel diagram on its side and then working with 22-degree angle in my triangulation?
Yes, 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 yes. And we sent you what happens to light when you send it through that. You got that, didn't you? Didn't everybody get that?
Yeah, did you get that, Bob?
Bobby,
what was that?
He didn't know. He wouldn't know.
What would get what, Jed?
Virginia sent. Ion told Virginia to send out this this email, and it was to a web page that shows light refraction. So light comes down, hits a piece of glass,
right,
and it angles off because of the refraction.
Yeah, it becomes the rainbow, the coning rainbow on the other side of the prism.
Well, no. This the important thing was the angle of refraction. I think.
Oh, okay. Send that to me. I guess I got it.
Yeah.
Not the one I'm
Ion
thinking
said specifically. Yeah. Ion said specifically to pick the one type of chemical that refracted 22 degrees. So that's why I just brought it up. 22.
Angel diagram. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying you've got the chemical now?
Yeah. Ion sent that out.
Yeah. No. What is 22 degrees indicate a chemical?
No. The chemical at 22 degrees.
The chemical. We don't know the chemical, but at 22 degrees.
We do.
We
yes,
do. It
we
was
do.
In the email.
The chemical.
Yeah,
okay.
We do.
Let's see what that was, Ginny. So we're coming near the end of the session, Chad. What do you want to end up with?
So Ion, with the degree values that are in the angel diagram. Do I work with those degree values from a sideways view as we're looking at it here?
Try it at 22 degrees.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah.
Nothing is wrong. Play with it.
All right. No, that's
see,
good.
And then you can adjust it. Just remember you're 14 degrees of...
freedom.
Freedom. Then you can't miss.
Is there a way to visualize 14 degrees of freedom in this triangulation chart that
certainly.
I'm doing?
Certainly.
Okay.
Well, certainly. You about
would that
have
four,
it.
Would that be 14 tangents?
At least.
Oh, okay. So it's bigger than that.
Of course. Well, now think about it. If you have 14 degrees of freedom, you're going to have to, if you limit it to 14 tangents, that would be only one way of freedom.
So each of the 14 tangents would have 14 axes across it.
Absolutely. At least, yes.
So that would require three-dimensional.
Well, of course, that's what we're trying. Yes, yes, yes. But see, that's what we were saying when you were explaining it, like in an airplane. You can go up, you can go down, you can go side, you can go left, you can go right, you can go back. Those are the choices. But if you had 14 ranges of those choices, it would be quite a stellar way to navigate.
Yeah.
Okay, Chad. I found Virginia's email. That was last March 30. Well, that's a month ago. So I click on the link, and that's the one I'm talking about. I look at that... the light beam comes in and then refracts, and that can become the double helix almost, the spiraling, colorful rainbow once it goes through the prism or the refracting process.
The rainbow becomes the double helix?
No, you got a yellow beam, yellow wavelength come along, it hits the refracting point, and then it becomes the seven colors. Anyways, that image that she said is the one I'm referring to. I got that a while ago. So she says, set the angle at 22, choose lead sulfide, and enjoy. Oh, this is from Ion. Ion sent it to her.
Yeah.
I conked out early and didn't realize that Ion sent me this private message on the dupes. So, okay, yeah, that's the image I've had for a couple of months, but I did not know about the angle at 22, and choose lead sulfide to do what? What do you choose it for?
It changes the refraction, because that chemical has a different refractive property.
Oh, so you can do it in this
Yeah, if you're looking at the thing, you go down to the little box and change it to lead sulfide.
Oh, yeah.
Little drop box.
Okay, and then you, so then crown
then you
glass.
Go up to the incident angle and change that incident angle on the yellow slider to 22.
Right. Okay, so then you put that over 22. And so it just makes it on a different angle, spreads out. So what's it? Still showing the same pattern, just puts it on a different place. So I was asking Ian last night about this. How do we look at the angel chart, seeing this refracting action going on? Let's end with that, Chad. Let's see if we can figure out, like, what is the first, the outer seven rings, or 8 to 14, are they refracting through the Escher ring 7, the Escher, whatever it's called, Escher boomerang? Is that where refracting is going from vibrational frequency in the outer eight or six rings? And then what we see, the rainbow effect, is in the inner six or seven rings. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Have you got that image right there, Jed? The refracting thing that Ginny sent?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I get what you mean. I get what your question means, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying the yellow wavelength might be rings 14 to 8. Then it goes through the Escher thing, and depending on the angle, you get the you get rings 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 based on the angle. Is there some way you can make this represent the interaction between the outer seven rings and the inner seven rings? You know what I mean? And then this rainbow effect on the inner after the refraction is like the 144,000 DNA strands.
Yeah, that's what I see.
So ask Ian about that. Ask Ian about how he correct what we're saying here. Is the refraction going on at the Escher ring?
Yeah, Ian, is the Escher ring the refractive medium?
No.
Is there ask if there's a refraction going on at all within the angel diagram?
Maybe
at the 14th ring.
Is there a point of refraction in the angel diagram? Refractive surface? Is there a refractive surface?
Would the 14th ring be that? It would seem like the 14th ring would be that. The outer membrane.
Mm-hmm. Would it be the 14th ring, Ion?
It would have to include the valence and the balance.
Yeah, that's at the 14th ring. So the valence, so this is a limited image of what goes on at the 14th ring.
Is it?
Okay.
You asked, Jen.
Is this a limited view of what goes on in the 14th ring?
Yes.
Okay. And is refraction created by the degree of valence?
Or valence?
Both. So you have to plot both.
Yeah, valence is the quality of the element or chemical.
Yeah. Different chemicals have different valence.
But the valence is something else. That's the hanging over from the curtain rod. The little fringe on the curtain rod folds in towards the center. That's valence as opposed to valence. Valence is the chemical meaning. Valence is the foldover. And what is... We haven't gone into that much, Ian. What is what's the significance of the folding in? It's just indicating the folding over, going inwards?
Everything a rabbit can do to a stone.
Is indicated by valence.
Dude.
That would be like the way that the different rings in the diagram are folding in on other rings?
Yeah, that would lead to the 14 degrees of movement, those kind of variations.
Which would affect your valence.
Yeah, the valence would affect the valence.
Okay. So what's more important to focus on the diagram, the valence or
both.
The objects in the diagram?
Both. He said both.
Okay.
So what we're talking about, can this be discussed in the group, Ion?
No.
Oh, okay. We don't go there. They have to ask.
Well, no. The angel chart... blah, 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 fine. But all the other stuff for the other is independent only to number one.
Right, but the what we're talking about in the angel chart, the refraction and the valence balance, that can be discussed in rewrite?
If they ask, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay,
Jed, I think that's
there's
it.
There's no limitation, and the only one we add would be this place of the details of the fifth element.
Yeah.
No, you said you would add. What's that mean, Jed? He would add it?
Add it to the list of do not share.
This whole pentatic thing we did, right?
Yeah.
They got to get the formula first.
Yeah, well, he'll work on it. He's doing good.
Who is?
Number one.
Yeah, we've gotten the formula, the first part of the formula, or the basic thing.
I know, but now the detail, even taking it to the next tier.
Right.
And when you get taken to the next tier, what that's going to do is take some of the heatness out of the fire for you. When you start going to the next layer, then the other thing's going to have to be. So you won't have to fret to get to the last thing. You'll be on to the next thing, which takes the pressure off to allow simple functioning triangulation to become a piece of cake. Piece of kick.
Yeah, you're saying that the getting the A2 point doesn't become so much a focus? Is that what you're saying?
Right. That becomes easy. Everybody can do that.
Yeah, right. But then manipulating the future or the present from the before is the...
Which is actually what the Sentinel was trying to show you in the event.
Right. You watching that, Chad, the event?
I watched a couple episodes, but I didn't see the Sentinel. I'll also look for that. Where is it?
Yeah, look for that. In the last few, last three or four episodes. You'll see.
Okay. All right. Good.
Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously, and foreverly, Addison Bain.